You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back, and we're badder than ever, and we've got my good friend Bernard Zyskovich. Bernard, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
Now, what we're going to do with Bernard, Bernard is a renowned architect here in town. He's got an artistic background. You studied overseas, didn't you?
Studied for a year in Venice during my time at Pratt.
Oh, okay. And then Pratt was that's like an artsy place up in New York, right?
It's full-time artsy.
Well, then no wonder you're such a creative dude.
Well, thank you.
I guess now South Florida is your tableau. Is that like the right word to say?
It is, but you know, the truth is I've managed to get back to New York, so we have an office up there, and we're also in Orlando. And also in Bogota, Colombia.
Oh, well, that's really great. So you're bringing your vision to other places, which I think is beneficial to them.
I think it, I'm certainly hoping.
Well, listen, Bernard, I want to thank you for coming on. What prompted me to bring you on the show is I saw the work that you were doing to try to save lives on the bridge over from Key Biscayne to Miami. And then we had a discussion with Amy about what you're doing with the Underline. And so why don't you talk a little bit about making Miami safe before we talk about the beauty you're bringing?
Well, great. Well, you know, there's all these different types of bike riders in town. I'm one of the guys that's out there on the weekend on the Rickenbacker, and riding that by myself, I realized over time how dangerous it was for a lot of people. And I thought, you know, why not put my skill set to work to try to make something happen? So I created this idea called Plan Z, and the idea is to separate the bike lanes, and it's evolved into a big vision, which is about taking the entire causeway, which everyone thinks of as a road, and implementing a park, a new bike lane that's separated from all the cars, some beautiful new bridges that keep everybody crossing without having to be in the same space. And we're going to save lives. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be fun. And we're going to make Miamians more healthy, because you wouldn't believe how many people say, I love what you're doing, but I got scared on the bike, and I have my stationary trainer in my bedroom.
100%.
So now we're going to be able to liberate everyone from their bedroom, and they're going to get a bike, and they're going to ride on the road.
Listen, the other thing I'd like you to do is I'd like you to extend that into Bayshore Drive, because when people go down Bayshore Drive, and I go into work on Saturdays down in Coconut Grove, and luckily I go sort of later in the morning than most of the bicyclists do. Uh-huh. But it's really a dangerous thing. And then there's always the genius that wants to ride on Bayshore Drive during rush hour in his lane, which he's entitled to do, which I don't have a problem with, but to obey the laws because they zigzag and all this other stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of competition out there among the drivers and the riders and the runners. But what I like to remind people is you can have one person in a car, four people in a car, one person on a bike, one person running. But the bottom line is we're all individual people, and we deserve to be safe. And we deserve to be able to share the road.
Yeah, and beyond that, I think that the things that you're doing will reduce tension. I get what I call pre-traumatic stress syndrome getting on the road. In fact, when I drive into work, I'm usually on the phone with my mom, and I talk about how I'm all tense, and then somebody inevitably exercises their free will into my lane or something, and I start talking about it, and she goes, listen, Jim, just be quiet. It's all your fault anyway, since I do all those urban deals. But Bernard, how are you making Miami more beautiful as well?
Well, I'm trying my best to create different ideas. One is that, as you know, we've become specialized in creating neighborhoods.
Yes, sir.
So we've had a lot of work out on South Beach when it was just coming back into fashion. And from there, leaped into the city and other places with Midtown, with work we're doing now for Mana and Wynwood. We're doing planning in different parts of the state. So one is urban and the idea of creating a sense of place that's authentic. And we also do the architecture for buildings, and we do all kinds of buildings.
You know, I really, really love what you did in Wynwood, and it was a first thing that really happened here in town when they took a disgusting train-like car, I don't know what you call it, the little place where they store all the stuff, the containers, a container field, and it was absolutely vacant. It was close in. It was a great location. Nobody really had a vision, and what you and your team did was turn it into a thriving metropolis that I think is part of the reason why Wynwood took off.
I agree. I think Midtown was pivotal in the development of Wynwood and Edgewater and the Design District, because it was this 56-acre fenced-in remnant from Henry Flagler's days that was storage for containers for the port.
And it was also, it's also abutting a beautiful neighborhood that's now being rediscovered. There's some gentrification going on, which we don't talk politics, so we won't talk about that.
Right.
But, you know, we will talk a little bit of politics because everybody has to live here. How can you help? How can we help solve the problem for people that live far out? They're taxed with the tolls coming in from everywhere else to work on the east side. How can we make life better for our members of our community?
Well, I think that it's kind of happening on its own in some respects. One is the reason that there's this resurgence into Brickell, Midtown, Downtown, Wynwood, Edgewater, Little Haiti, Alapata is now the new hot thing. Areas north of Wynwood called Now and Wow, west of Wynwood. So there's all these acronyms out there, and the bottom line is that people have realized that you get a better quality of life because you don't have to spend your life on the road.
Oh, yeah.
If you can live in the city and be near the restaurants and the cafes and the bars and the bookstores and all the other fashion and shopping that you want to do. And even the school systems are beginning to revitalize the inner city schools. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, plus we won an Academy Award about all that.
We did.
So I had a few months ago, I had Mike Fay on, high five to Mike, surfer dude, and he talked about what he called the theory of donuts. I'll get a little more technical. I call it the theory of the vertically integrated high activity centers, where you've got everything in one place and you really don't need to go on the road. I know that some of the new apartment buildings around Wynwood and Brickell are lamenting the fact that they have all this parking because everybody that lives there Ubers. They really need an Uber parking lot for all the people at rush hour.
I think that would be a great idea, because one of the problems that we face as architects trying to do good work is that the parking demand is really in that state of mind depending on what age group you're talking to. If you're talking to the guys that have grown up in the shopping center business and in the other business, they're real believers in got to do it the way we used to do it, 5 cars per 1,000. And if you're starting to look at the guys that are saying, no, I'm different. I have an urban product. I want to make something else. I only need the parking that I have to have, which is now maybe hovering around 3 per 1,000. And I think in a very short time, the need for parking garages is going to disappear substantially.
Well, let me ask you this then. Do you have a design focus where you can create a flexible parking field with the urban residential or retail where down the road as the needs change, the people will be able to, oh, here's a big word, repurpose the space?
Yes, actually, I've been doing that in our firm for quite a long time. And here's what we do. Sometimes it's cheaper to buy a parking garage in a box. That's what we call it. It's like all these precast garages.
Well, I got precast going on right out there.
Yeah. So you've got sloping ramp, sloping ramp, sloping ramp, sloping ramp.
Right.
Those are not reusable.
Right.
But if you have a flat floor parking garage with a speed ramp, those are reusable because you can tear down the speed ramp. You still have a flat floor. And here's a little bit of trivia. The load for an office building and the load for a parking garage are exactly the same.
You know, I actually was looking at, there's a big condo development going on right near me, and I've been watching them finally putting up the parking structures, and I'm seeing the parking structures are on an angle. Then I go and I work out a lot at the University of Miami Health System, and they've got a one of those ramps that you were talking about that's inclined, and I'm thinking to myself, how do you repurpose this kind of thing? And that's sort of where I came up with the question.
Well, you got the right question, and the answer is you can't.
Well,
you
that seems pretty inefficient.
Flat floor, and you need to have as few ramps as possible.
Well, I think that we figured something out. Wanda?
I have a question. This all sounds lovely, but what about people with pets and who want pets and want to have animals?
Yes, hold on a second. Wanda, okay. He has to put on his headset because we didn't expect that you'd have such a good question. Rock and roll, Wanda.
I hear all that. It sounds great and wonderful, but for people like me who has pets, it's starting to sound even less pet friendly. Can't we repurpose one of those things into a pet mall or we can take our animals at least.
A pet park?
More than a pet park, because even in pet parks, it gets, you know, it can only have so many pet parks. But if we're going to do all that and everybody's moving to the city, with that, we're losing our ability to have pets. And those are the us that love animals. What?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, that Wanda, that I just got a new apartment in New York that I'm renting because I'm up there a lot in our office. And I could not believe the number of apartments that I went to see that in different buildings where all of them are so pet friendly. There's animals everywhere. You bring your car, you bring your dog, you can have them at their cafe, you can bring them into the apartment.
Huh.
I think an urban life will change that.
And okay, the reason Miami, that,
yeah,
are you
Miami's
listening?
Not there yet.
They're not.
But it's going to get there soon because it's going to be a demand from people like you.
Okay.
You know?
Hey.
Let's go to a break. We'll talk about where I saw somebody out of context with a pet just yesterday on Brickell. So Wanda, take it away. Rock the house. We'll be back with more great stuff with Bernard Zyskovich right after this.